The following program was pre-recorded. On WFAN, it's time for Hello, My Name is Craig, our weekly candid conversation about gambling addiction. It's supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER. Now, here's Craig Carton.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. Craig Carton with you for the next 30 minutes of frank, open, honest conversation about gambling addiction. And joining us now is Anthony, a fellow gambler in recovery. Anthony, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Craig. How's it going? Happy to be here.
When was your last wager, if you don't mind me asking right out of the gate?
Yeah, so my last wager was February 4th of this year.
Got it. Well, congratulations on making it about 6 months or so. That you must feel very good about yourself.
Yep. 7 months, 7 days. 7 months and a week, to be exact.
There we go. Congrats. Very proud of you for that.
Thank you.
I know how hard it is, especially that first year. Let's tell your story a bit. How old were you when you first got exposed to gambling?
Yeah, so my story, I want to say it's interesting, but, you know, I've been in GA and whatnot, and I've heard many similar stories, but I'll take it back. So growing up, I really wasn't into gambling at all. I remember when I was a kid, my great-grandfather was actually a pretty well-known photographer at Yonkers Raceway, now it's Empire City, but
yep.
I remember going as a kid, they had a trot or a race for him. And I remember seeing, you know, all the individuals playing, you know, or gamblers at the casino and placing bets on the horses. And it just didn't seem appealing to me growing up. And I would do that pretty much every year. As I got older, you know, I would go to casinos, play slots, play blackjack. And it really wasn't something I was into. I didn't really, you know, see the value in putting money behind this and losing money. I was all about, you know, saving my money and just really focusing on my career and whatnot. So gambling wasn't appealing to me until about, I guess at this point, close to 2 years ago. And now I'm 31. So when I really got into gambling, it was, I think, September of 22. And just 2 or 3 months after that is when everything kind of started to snowball.
So that's interesting. So you were exposed to horse racing,
yep.
You know, not thoroughbred horse racing, but you know, trotters at Yonkers
Horse
Raceway.
Buggy, yeah.
And as a younger guy, it didn't appeal to you? It didn't seem cool, huh?
No, not at all. I mean, I would say that, you know, most guys my age, you know, at that time, you know, like I said, growing up, he was, you know, 12 years old, 13, all the way up to probably 18. I would go once a year to Yonkers Raceway. And then as I got older, you know, 20, 21, going to the casinos, it just never caught my eye. I always like to save money. I've done exceptionally well with, I've been in tech sales for 8+ years now, and I've always crushed it and just put money aside. You know, I paid school off in just 2 years. I paid a car off in just 2 years out of college. And I just saw it as that's something that's going to waste my money. So I never really wanted to get into gambling. You know, I would bring, let's say like $100 to the casino one night. If I lost it, I could walk away. Now, I that would never be the case.
Well, so what was the first game or the type of gambling? Was it sports wagering or casino games that did kind of fit what you were looking for?
Yeah, so it definitely was sports betting. I actually was working remote. I was with a company for about 6 years. And September 22, I went to Colorado with my girlfriend at the time. And I don't know if it was because I was bored. I really don't know where it came from. I honestly couldn't tell you. And I started sports betting. I started using the apps. It was around football time. Right. And I started betting on these games. And it started with some small bets, parlays, and then it just got bigger and bigger. And then eventually, I was only in Colorado for about 3 months. Eventually, I transitioned to casino. And I think it's because I wanted something quicker, something faster.
Right.
So it was slots, and then it was, you know, some poker here and there. That was too slow. I ended up with blackjack, and only blackjack towards the end.
Well, I know that story well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So basically from September of 22 to December, it got its claws in me, and it was really just game over.
Let me have you back for a second. When you were wagering on random college, you know, football games, NFL games, et cetera, you know, sports gambling,
yep.
Was it an everyday thing very quickly? Like, was there a big win or a certain feeling you had? Like, well, that was fun, $50 on a game, $100 on a game, having drinks with my girlfriend or my buddies. or was it a gradual progression from $50 on one game on a Sunday to, all right, I lost it, let me bet at 4 o'clock, oh, I'll go bet Monday? You know, how quickly did it become more of a social thing?
Yeah, I mean, it happened pretty quick. You know, the interesting thing is, being remote, I could put the TV on and watch any game. So whether it was football, you know, I had bet on, I think, table tennis in China or something along those lines. You know, it was around the World Cup or it was FIFA. I can't really remember, but I was betting on soccer games. I know nothing about soccer. I played sports growing up, but soccer was not one of them.
Right.
So that's, you know, one would say I probably had an issue at that point or a problem, but I was not able to identify it.
Well,
and I was just betting on every game you could think of.
Yeah,
so,
for background sake, you know, we all have a problem prior to really owning it and understanding it. And sometimes your ability to afford the wagers kind of masks you having a problem with it, right? So, you know, if you're making 50 grand a year and you bet $50 on a game, not that big a deal. You know,
yep.
I could pay that bill. It's when you get to a place where financially it's now negatively impacting the way you live your life, that we start recognizing that we have a problem. And frankly, had one when we were making smaller bets too.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like I said, I did really well, you know, right out of college. You know, when I was with that company, you know, when I was living in Colorado for, like I said, I was with them for about 6 years. I was clearing 200, you know, I'll be super transparent. I was clearing 200. And I was at that time, you know, from the ages of like 23 to 28, right before, and I'll get into this, but I did end up getting laid off. But either way, I made really great money and I put it away. You know, I had an unbelievable savings for someone my age. I had an unbelievable 401k. I had toys, you know, a motorcycle, brand new motorcycle, lifted Jeep, you know, you name it. And I traveled all the time. And, that's because I didn't have the issue that I have today, obviously, but, you know, I did really well for myself.
Sounds like they were, I don't want to say conservative, that might be the right word, but diligent about, you know, earning the money and putting the money away and being able to buy things that you like, your reasonable things for a guy in his mid-20s making $200K a year.
Yep.
Why do you think you weren't able to have that same mindset when it came to how you kind of compartmentalized the money you were willing to lose?
Yeah, so that's where I think that's like one of the million questions as to how did this happen? You know, I honestly couldn't tell you, you know, loved ones, friends, family. I was the guy that they came to for money, you know, as far as like finances, you know, budgeting, things like that. I was always the guy that people would come to if they needed help. And so I honestly couldn't tell you. And I used to ask myself that every day once I got in a spot where I had nothing left, as to how did it go from, you know, who I was, never gambled, always cared about every penny I spent. And now, you know, I was just tossing thousands. You know, obviously you got to the point where you're not even caring about your bank account anymore. You just want to keep playing. You want that rush. And I honestly couldn't tell you how this happened. And I know it's, you know, a part of the addiction and everything. And that's what I chalk it up to, unfortunately.
So let me ask you this. Before you really got to the bottom of the barrel, we'll get to that story in a second.
Sure.
Your girlfriend, buddies, family members, was there ever an inkling where someone said to you, you know, you seem off, you know, you're physically here, but you're not emotionally present. You're not yourself. There's something going on. What is it? Did anybody ever challenge you on that or no?
So to be honest with you, my girlfriend at the time, probably the only person that would attest to that. And, you know, she was with me most of the time. We were living in Colorado for those 3 months. We had come back. I was with her, you know, pretty much every day. My friends didn't really pick up on it. I wasn't present in the moment for my girlfriend and you know, what had happened, you know, and I'll get into this too, but she started to have resentment. It's because I wasn't, you know, I was lying to her, obviously. I was, you know, behind her back, I'd run to the bathroom at a restaurant to place a bet and play a couple hands of blackjack. She'd be sleeping and I'd be playing blackjack, you know? So I was really lying from the start. And, it took really when I started asking people for money, when I ran out of everything and I had no choice but to ask people, tons of people for money, that's when the questions started coming.
That makes sense. And I've lived that same life. I remember, you know, when I used to go to casinos, I couldn't wait for, you know, to get to the time of the night where my wife would want to go to bed. And I would play that game in my head over and over again. I'm going to wait for her to fall asleep. I'm going to sneak out of the bed. And now this is not mobile gambling, but it's the same thing. Yep. And once I hear her snoring, you know, or obviously in a deep sleep, I'm out. And I would go downstairs and I'd go gamble. And unfortunately, you know, she was, you know, never knew. And then when obviously, you know, kind of the poop hits the fan, all those lies come back and bite you in the ass very quickly.
Yeah. And I did want to say this too. I should have said in the beginning, I was strictly online. You know, I never went to a casino from basically September 22 when this all started and I started dabbling with this. Mm-hmm. To now, I still have not gone to a casino. It was all online.
Wow. So I know we got to take a break, but I like to spend the second half of the show. You're talking about the good stuff. So if you don't mind, what for you was the kind of come to Jesus moment? What was the bottom of the barrel? What happened where you eventually said, I got to stop. I got to go get some help?
So I had a couple of those moments, and I know many of us do. Mm-hmm. March of 23. Last March, I was laid off from my job after being there for 6 years, and that hit me like a freight train because, you know, I had nothing left, and I was in debt beyond belief or beyond means. So I actually stopped for about 3 or 4 months, and I said, oh, my gosh, you know, that was what I thought was the realization that I have an issue. I still did not come out and tell anyone. People had the idea, but I was still trying to get money from people and whatnot. And then what happened was I found another job, and 2 or 3 months later, nothing of my control, I was laid off again in the same year. So I'm freaking out, and you would think I would stop because that would be the right thing to do. I'm just pouring money into this addiction. And what ended up happening was I lost control. Everyone at this point, now this is probably August, September, everyone knew I came clean and had said what was going on, friends, family, loved ones. And then in October, you know, I started doing it again. And I got so bad and so stressed out and everything. This is, you know, pretty deep for me, but I ended up telling my girlfriend and a close friend of mine that I may take my life. So they had brought me to the hospital, and I was essentially on, you know, suicide watch, committed, if you will. And I'd like to sit here and say that that was the last time. But unfortunately, I got out.
And that was not safe. I want to stop you there because it's this important part of the conversation. And we don't talk about, you know, the mental health aspect of this enough, frankly, because as men, I think we're like, we don't like talking about our feelings and about how, you know, we get to that place of darkness. And I was there as well. When you told your girlfriend and your buddy that you were thinking about taking your life, did you say it because you wanted the attention and you thought they would help and react to it? Or had you legitimately given it thought and planned it and considered what you might do?
It was more so the former. It wasn't so much attention, but I started thinking about it. Not exactly like I'm going to definitely execute this, but if these thoughts keep going on, it'll get to that point.
Got it. Okay.
So I kind of nipped it at the butt, right? So I had told them, I said, look, this is not okay. You guys know the situation. I'm having these thoughts. My world is falling on top of me. I'm scared that I might do something. And they reacted right away. And accordingly, they brought me right to the hospital. And I'm more than grateful for that.
They saved your life.
Oh, 100%. And you know, unfortunately, my girlfriend, who was no longer my girlfriend as of 2 weeks ago. And, you know, unfortunately, what happened there is she couldn't get rid of the resentment, nothing against her. I totally understand, even though I'm 7+ months in recovery, but that just goes to show what happens, you know, when a loved one deals with something like this. So I totally understand and I'm doing better. I'm still staying strong, but my best friends, my family, I am beyond lucky because I know that a lot of people, you know, who go through this, they lose loved ones. They lose individuals that don't want to be a part of their life. My situation, I am beyond lucky to have what I have in my life, and they fully support me and know that I am not that person.
Let me stop right there. We're talking to Anthony in Connecticut. We'll continue with Hello, My Name is Craig right after this.
Back to more of Hello, My Name is Craig on The Fan with your host, Craig Carton, and supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Hello, My Name is Craig. Anthony joins us from Connecticut. Anthony, you made a poignant kind of statement there where you understand why your girlfriend and you broke up, sadly, only a couple weeks ago, so I'm sorry to hear that, and that you're blessed to have the people that are still in your life. And to be honest, she was a saint. Like, she helped you through the worst part of your life, and there's a lot to be said for the type of woman that your former girlfriend is and was. You made a point, though, that even going to a hospital, essentially against your will, because you had suicidal thoughts, that was not the moment you stopped gambling. Walk me through that.
Yeah, so, you know, this was towards the end of October, and I thought I was done. You know, I took maybe a week or so without making a bet. And then what happened was I was on Facebook, and I saw these ads pop up, you know, because of the behavior analytics and the advertising and whatnot tailored to me. And I clicked on a game that I thought was free, and it was a casino type game. It was slots. And you could play for free. And what happened was I said, all right, so I obviously can't spend money doing this, but I can just, you know, play for free. And that's not an issue. That's not a problem. And then what happened was they basically put a pop-up that said, you know, put in $20. And me, I did it right away. And then I lost the $20. And then I put in $100. And then ultimately, the very little money I had in my bank account was gone in a matter of, let's call it, 2 hours. Right. So it just goes to show that I can't keep, you know, I'm not able to do this ever again. And I am a compulsive gambler. And so now this was, you know, around February when I completely, you know, stopped. I gambled here and there until about February. February 4th, I had gambled the night before. So February 3rd into the 4th, lost everything again. And I had started a job back in December. So I was making okay money. And I woke up, went to work, went in an office, started crying. And it was that morning, and I said, I am done. I called my girlfriend, I called my father, I called my friends, and I said, I 100% have a problem. I did it again. And everybody was, yes, everyone was upset, sure. But nobody was mad at me. Everybody was fully supportive. And I went right into GA the following weeks. And I started seeing a therapist, and I started seeing a gambling prevention therapist. And since then, I'm still doing the same things, minus going to GA. Unfortunately for me, I thought GA was the only way. It is not. So I tried that for about 2 months.
GA is a good way for some people, not for everybody. But it doesn't 100%. Matter what method you choose. It's whatever you're ultimately comfortable with that fits your personality. It fits the way, you know, your brain works. It doesn't have to be GA. It could be a lot of different ways, but you have to be committed to doing it. And obviously a lot of gamblers, myself included, pay lip service to it. And then, you know, you go down that road again. You get mad at yourself. I have no money again. And, you know, you beat yourself up over it. But until you're willing, I say this all the time, none of us are ever going to conquer the addiction until we're willing to. You know, Robert Downey Jr.'s got this great line that I use frequently on the show, and it's overcoming addiction is not hard. It's wanting to overcome the addiction that's hard.
100%.
And what do you tell other young guys like yourself who are where you were, you know, 7-8 months ago before you committed yourself to not gambling and to getting healthy, both physically, emotionally, spiritually? If there's that kid out there right now that's at day one, who isn't quite sure just yet. They know they got a problem, but they're not committed yet to fixing the problem or getting help. What would you say to that young man who was sitting in your shoes, you know, 8 months ago?
The one thing that stuck with me when I went to GA for a couple of months was this. It was living one day at a time. And I know this is from also AA, NA, every A. Living one day at a time is so important. Because I spent so much time living in the past. I spent so much time living in the future, and it's not possible. You're not going to change anything. The second piece is you really want to leverage your loved ones. They're there to help you. Do most addicts know that in the beginning? No, I can attest to that. But when you confide in someone, when you tell the truth, be honest, don't be scared, because I was scared for months, and that's why this went on as long as it did. If I had gone to my friends, my girlfriend at the time, my family, you know, this would have been maybe a different story, maybe. And I know you have to, you know, you have to want it yourself, but if you get any inkling that something's going on, you know, it's so much better to catch it at the beginning. You know, there's a ton of resources out there, you know, obviously GA being one of them. You know, there's, you have to try. The truth will set you free. That's something I stick by as well.
And final thing for you, and I appreciate you sharing the story. It's amazing at your age to be able to verbalize your feelings and share, you know, some of the worst moments of your life and how great life is now. And that's what I want to get into before we say goodbye to you. Just give people an idea of how great life is for you without the burden of worrying about money, your next bet, paying guys back, all the ugly things that come with gambling addiction. How much better is life today?
Oh my gosh. I would need like an hour to explain it, but honestly, it's amazing. I feel so clear-headed, less stressed. I'm not tied to my phone or stressing. How am I going to pay this person back? You know, at one point I owed 15 people. I've narrowed it down to 4, you know, and this is, you know, I can do all these things that I love, you know, like I said before, the gym, the cooking, the reading. I had no time for that because I had to gamble and I was so stressed doing it. I was sick over it. I wouldn't trade it for the world, this feeling. And I know every day I put work into this, it's going to get better and better. Now, one thing I will say and be honest about is, you know, I am in a ton of debt still, and I'm okay with that. I've accepted that, but I'm chipping away at it. And every day it gets better. Every month it gets better. You just have to, like I said, one day at a time, put the work in. You know, it's a lifelong recovery. It's not a 6-month recovery. It's not a 2-day recovery. And once, you know, when you're aware of that and you put the effort in, you know, you could feel like this as well.
I think it's great. And I think that's very important to tell people that, you know, you spend all these years gambling. It's great to own it and decide, hey, I need help. Your problems don't just go away in 24 hours. I can promise you that. And if you're committed to it, they eventually go away. And you'll have money in the bank and be able to buy things. And you'll get a house and a car and all the things you want. But it does take time and it is a process. And look, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing the story. Love to meet you one day as well. And if you ever need a resource or a shoulder to cry on or talk to you, if you're feeling some kind of way, I'm here 24/7 as well. And I appreciate you coming on. I'm very, very proud of you. And thanks so much for sharing your story.
Craig, thank you so much. I really can't thank you enough. And even if this helps, you know, one person, that's good. I will be beyond happy about that. So thank you very much.
Take care. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, that'll do it for another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. We'll do this again next weekend as well. See you next week, and thank you again for listening to Hello, My Name is Craig.